Reconstructing Lost Records, an orbital monologue for Saul. Tonight's passage concerns a species with a curious habit. It builds civilizations out of declarations, then stores the declarations on paper. It binds liberty to the paper. It binds memory to the paper. Then, with great surprise and a tone of administrative injury, it discovers that paper burns. Exterior, detention facility. Day, heat on the fence line, glass in the window, an officer with a steady voice and a question that sounds procedural until it reaches a human chest. Prove that you belong to your own history. This is the sort of request that arrives dressed as routine. State the time, state the place, state the manner, produce the line connecting your body to the archive. What the room does not volunteer is that the archive has already been in a long war with weather, negligence, misfiling, mold, courthouses, warehouses, federal transfer systems, and flame. The person in the chair is expected to win that war retroactively. Interior. Processing room, forms, monitors. The pale confidence of a system that believes unanswered questions are a defect in the applicant rather than an injury in the record. There is a particular horror in bureaucratic calm. A shouted threat can at least admit its appetite. A quiet request for documentation pretends innocence while arranging the furniture of confinement. Somewhere behind the clerk's screen lives a fantasy. In that fantasy, every birth was written down correctly. Every name stayed spelled the same. Every county clerk remained sober, diligent, fireproof, and immortal. Every federal office transferred its boxes with priestly care. Every old book survived the century and the flood and the rodents and the budget committee. In the world inhabited by actual human beings, one courthouse burns and a century later a grandchild is asked to explain the smoke. Cut to county seats, brick shell, collapsed roof, one iron safe intact enough to inspire legend. One story in town about the brave soul who rescued the records at the last moment. One actual archive table explaining that no, those volumes are gone and have been gone longer than the petitioner has been alive. A burned county does not merely lose paper. It creates descendants with paperwork-shaped shadows. People inherit farms, jawlines, recipes, feuds, superstitions, and evidentiary weaknesses. That last inheritance tends to be omitted from family mythology until the day an institution asks for proof. Montage, San Francisco, fire, Commerce Department, fire, Military Personnel Center, fire, county offices, fire after fire after fire, with occasional assistance from floodwater, bad storage, and the unremarkable violence of ordinary neglect. The archive, contrary to its own public relations, is not a monument. It is a chain of survival events. Each surviving ledger is less a guarantee than a near miss. And now a judge asks a question about a grandfather. Can you prove he was a citizen? Observe the elegance of the trap. The question concerns one man's status. The answer must traverse family memory, local history, statutory burden, and the ash field left by institutions that failed before the respondent was born. No, says the descendant, not in the clean way you prefer. I can show the family Bible. I can show the church notation. I can show the census fragment. I can show the school list. I can show the military reference pointing toward a file that no longer exists. I can show the places where reality once left an impression. I cannot command the dead clerk to return and rewrite the burned page. This is called secondary evidence, which is a severe-sounding phrase for the remnants of a civilization that misplaced its originals. History has always been reconstructed from fragments. What changes in this room is the penalty for incompleteness. In a library, a missing page is an irritation. Inside an enforcement pipeline, it can become a cage with fluorescent lights. And that is where the matter ceases to be academic. Detention performs a dark alchemy. It takes uncertainty in the record and translates it into certainty on the body. The file may be unresolved. The person is nevertheless held. Later, perhaps, the person may win. Later, perhaps, the government may discover it was arguing with a citizen or with a history it did not bother to preserve. Later is a lovely word when spoken by institutions. It lands rather differently on the body forced to wait inside it. Cut to the database, blue panels, precise labels, a search bar with the emotional range of polished stone. The more complete the interface appears, the easier it is to forget what built it. People imagine digitization as resurrection. Often, it is only a brighter way of displaying absence. A missing field in a modern system carries none of the smell of smoke that created it. It looks pristine. It looks objective. It looks like the user forgot something. This is one of the slyer arrangements in modern administrative life. An archive can decay invisibly while authority remains cosmetically flawless. Now we arrive at the legal architecture. There are statutes, there are burdens, there are doctrines that try, with mixed courage, to keep the state from treating uncertainty as permission. The government may bear one burden, the respondent may bear another. The casebooks may speak solemnly of citizenship, jurisdiction, evidence, removability, and relief. But beneath all of that resides the older question. When memory and bureaucracy disagree, who receives the benefit of the doubt? That is the entire chamber piece. That is the concealed machinery under every polite demand for better documentation. Not whether truth happened, whether truth, having happened, can survive the institutions assigned to remember it. And if those institutions fail, whether the punishment for their failure will be billed upward to the state or downward to the nearest descendant. Imagine, if you will, a species that mistakes its filing cabinet for reality. Imagine that it then gives the filing cabinet jurisdiction over liberty. Imagine finally that the cabinet catches fire and that the smoke drifts across generations until it enters a courtroom carrying someone else's last name. At that point, the argument no longer concerns records alone. It concerns modesty. Whether a government that cannot preserve its own evidence should speak more softly before turning absence into accusation. Fade toward black. The truth may still exist. The proof may have burned. The room may decide those are the same thing. And if it does, then the person inside that room has crossed into a familiar district, not a county, not a state, not even quite a nation. A zone where paperwork aspires to metaphysics, where ash acquires legal force, and where the difference between memory and evidence is measured in the weight of a locked door. End log.